Happy Sabbath, everyone. Today, I have captioned this presentation, Walking with Jesus Through the City, but What You Did Not Get of Kingston. Hence a trace of dots in the topic. Walking with Jesus Through the Streets of Kingston. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this moment. Speak through me now as I speak to your waiting congregation through Jesus Christ, O Lord. Amen. Metro Mission 14, MM14, Hope for the City. We have been hearing it. We have been seeing the billboards. We have been watching the live streaming, and we have been involved in this. I got a copy of the Adventist Review, I think it was on Thursday, and there was a big headline there. MM14 launched in Kingston. On the Sunday afternoon of January 12, there was a very eye-catching, a very picturesque event. I stood in the middle of Halfway Tree Square and noticed individuals marching from the four quadrant points down Hope Road, up Halfway Tree Road, down Constant Spring Road, and up Hagley Park Road, and they converged under the clock. It looked good. And the speakers, they spoke eloquently and were talking about, and they were launching MM14. As I moved among the crowd, as I move across the city, in various meetings, individuals have been asking, what really is Metro Mission 14? What is MM14? I'd like to tell you that Metro Mission 14 is a part of the Mission to the Cities initiative. And this is a major outreach of the World Seventh-day Adventist Church to share Jesus' love and the hope of his soon return with people who are living in the urban settings. It envisions initiatives in more than 630 of the cities of the world. So Kingston, having been chosen as a city for this territory, is just one of the 630 cities that are to be impacted for Jesus Christ. Right now as I speak, they are closing a particular health initiative in the city of Miami. They started last week, Sabbath, and they are involved in a very great health initiative. And having entered with the health initiative, they have been preaching every night. 25 ministers from across the various churches in South Florida have been preaching, and today they are gathering in the big Miami International Airport Center in a Total Health Expo 2014. So when we are involved here in Metro Mission 14, we are only doing a part of what the World Church has asked us to do. And so, walk with me, in your mind's eye, of course, through the city of Kingston. What do you know about the Kingston? And don't tell me that's just is a capital of Jamaica. We all know that. The parish of Kingston, according to the last census, 2011, in the parish of Kingston, there are about 88,000 people. 88,801 people living in the parish of Kingston. And when I say parish Kingston, for those of you who not even know, there is actually that like a 10 square mile area stretching across from down Bumper Hall, on the southern side, you know, running through Tivoli Gardens, Denham Town, and that area, go right across Port Royal. 88,800 people in Parish Kingston. But when we talk about the city of Kingston, we are more talking about the KMA. What is that? The Kingston Metropolitan Area, comprising Parish Kingston and the urban area of St. Andrew. And we're going to put all of that together with 88,000 in Parish Kingston, the KMA totals approximately 584,000 people. 584,572. In that same geographic area, there are about 45,000 Seventh-day Adventists worshiping in approximately 40 congregations. I say approximately Because when I did the checking, if you include like Padmore up the hill and Rock Hall, you might, you know, plus or minus. So it may be about 38, between 38 and 42. And I say approximately 40. So then, where am I going? In Kingston, in the city of Kingston, KMA, 584,000, 45,000 Seventh-day Adventists, 40 congregations. And when I start to look at it, it's not so much after all. Take out 40,000 from 584,000. We have 540,000 who are not sharing this message. What is true of Kingston City is also true of Miami, is true of Atlanta. And may I tell you that this great initiative started last year with New York 13, NY 13. And many of you watched that great event. It's part of the same initiative. But you know why? God recognized a long time ago that in the urban centers, large numbers of people are living. There's a great concentration of the population of any country in the urban centers. In the urban centers also, most times you have the seat of government. You have much of the commercial activities taking place. Isn't that so about Kingston? Of course. Our parliament is here and other state functions, they reside in and around Kingston, City Kingston. We have some of the good schools. Don't get me wrong, you have some nice ones out of town too. You have most of the banking centers are in Kingston. New Kingston with its bustling business activity. And those of you who are in the commercial world, they'll let you know that much of the cash passes through Kingston daily. And one of the nice things about those in business in Kingston, they turn over cash, not check our credit card. And it's true about Kingston, as it's about downtown Miami, as about downtown Chicago, as about downtown Atlanta, or wherever. But in many of these urban settings, there is a great amount of crime. There's a great amount of lawlessness. There's a great amount of what I love to call sin, practicing open sin. Satan has been let loose in the cities. So then, when our church decide that we'll have the mission to the cities initiative, is against this background. I just read something what the servant of the Lord said in Ministry of Healing. I was amazed when I read this. Almost, probably, yeah, over 100 years ago, we are living in the midst of an epidemic of crime, at which thoughtful, God-fearing men everywhere stand aghast. The corruption that prevails, it is beyond the power of the human pen to describe. Every day brings fresh revelations of political strife, bribery, and fraud. Every day brings its heart-sickening record of violence and lawlessness, of indifference to human suffering, of brutal, fiendish destruction of human life. It sounds familiar. 100 years ago. And while the world is filled with these evils, the gospel is too often presented in so indifferent a manner as to make but little impression upon the consciences of other lives of men. The world needs today what it needed 1900 years ago, a revelation of Jesus Christ. There is need, a great work of reform is demanded, and it is only through the grace of Christ that a work of restoration, physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. Christ's method, and I'll spend a few minutes on this. Christ's method alone will give true success. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. Watch this and listen to this keenly. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs. He won their confidence. And then he said, follow me. One of the great things about the mission to the cities initiative, it's not about preaching. It's about living the love of God, mingling with people, touching people where they are, and having impacted people, you say, come and follow me. That is the overall mission of the mission to the cities initiative. Unfortunately, and I'll be honest to say, that in many of the areas where we have embarked on this mission to the cities initiative, we have not done so. We have started to preach without touching people and mingling people, meeting people where they are. I can't help but get a little bit personal on this. A few years ago, the instrumentality of our conference president, Pastor Cottrell, and he got support from our ASI president, Elder Foster. And they saw the vision then of, with backing from the then union president, they saw the vision of entering the city to touch people's lives. What did Jesus do? Turn to the scripture reading. Matthew chapter 11, 1 to 6. Verse 1 says, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end, he departed thence to what? First, to teach and to preach in their cities. Quickly. John was in prison, wondering, was this the man who should come? Look at verse. Look at the other verses. 4. Verse 4. Jesus answered John's disciples, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. What did the disciples see? Look at verse 5. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And having done that, then you can say, come, come and meet the man Jesus Christ who has done great things. In MM14, as we walk through the city, I just take a look back. Before we reach 1907, in 1891, the Advent message first came to the city of Kingston through William Palmer and Margaret Harrison. Approximately 2 years later, in May 1893, Elder Asma landed in Kingston as the first Seventh-day Adventist missionary. It started the organized work. And watch this. January 13, Sunday evening, January 13, 1907. An evangelist by the name of Luther Warren. And those of you who know your denominational history, the same Luther Warren, who at the age of 14, he and his friend Henry Fenner started the first Adventist Youth Society. January 13, Sunday night, Luther Warren was having a great open-air meeting in the then race course. You know it today as the National Hero Circle, right here in Kingston. Right here, Pastor Cheyenne O'Connor is having a great campaign now. 147 baptized last week, Sabbath. It's on the same, I do not know if it's the same physical spot, but it's the same park. He preached. Midway the sermon, he said the Lord impressed him to make a call. And it says, those of you who are hearing, you want to accept the Lord, accept it now. The following evening, which will have been a Monday evening, approximately 3:30, a great earthquake lasting 35 seconds shook the city, and thousands were destroyed. It is said, as I read Lynette Mitchell's account of it, that light has come, said many people did not register their dead, because they did, at that time it was not compulsory. But many who responded to the call of Elder Luther Warren that Sunday night died in that terrible earthquake of 1907. What am I saying, putting all of this together? As you walk through the city of Kingston, there are needs. There are social needs, and do not blind your eyes to it. People are hungry. People are needing help. But while you do that, let them understand. We are to let them understand that, guess what? We are demonstrating love to you, because soon and very soon, Jesus Christ is going to be coming back for his world. And as he comes back for his work, who to tell, this might be the one opportunity that you might get to accept the Lord Jesus. But back to the social intervention of MM14. All the areas that I made mention of, they have gone in and made social interaction. In Jesus' days, he opened eyes, the deaf unstopped, and even the dead raised. In our MM14, spearheaded by this Andrew's church, we have the health initiative. Starting on Tuesday evening, we have what is known as the Health on Wheels project. We are going into sit areas, strategic areas around here with our health team, and they'll be meeting people at the community level. So impacting was our health series here at Andrew's, that we decided to do this as our cluster project. And guess what? As I sat on the East Conference Projects Committee, the conference has accepted this as a great way to intervene in the lives of the social lives of people in our city. They have adopted an acronym, and teachers, forgive me for spelling church, CHERCH. But it works. C, capacity building. There are many churches who are going, members are going to communities. They're fixing a bridge as we walk through the city with Jesus. They're making footbridge for people. They are making houses, renovating houses. And please, I would hear to know that when I'm finished here today, a lot of people come asking for a house. I don't have it to give. But capacity building, the C, they are building the capacity so that people can live. H, health and healing. Like what our church is spearheading. E, education and training. R, rehabilitation and restoration. There's another of our churches. They have gone to the major crossroad intersections. They have targeted the school, the street boys who wipe the windshields, and they are taking them to go into a classroom area where they will be learning some basic academics and also some skills. Right here in our city, that's happening. R, C, counseling. You know, one of the greatest need that came out of the Heroes Park campaign so far is the need for counseling. A lot of people were living lives that were not necessarily the best. Some people call it shacking up. There have been some major split-offs. People recognize that they have seen Jesus and they want to live a different life. But there's a great demand for counseling. As I spoke with the conference president this week, he said that he does not have enough hands. He can't find enough people who can go and to assist in counseling. Calls have been made for trained counselors. So if you are sitting here in church today and that is, you can offer counseling, come forward and volunteer for MM14 and make a difference. CHERCH. And having done all of that, then you bring hope. So you build capacity, health and healing, education and training, rehabilitation and restoration, counseling. Put it all together, you get church, and you bring them hope, and then you bring them to church at the end of that. So, MM14 is not just about the big campaign that we've held at Barbican Square, but we have to be prepared to put on our working clothes, get in the trenches, and mingle with people. That's what the Bible says Jesus did. Two other things I just mentioned. Jesus having compassion. I watch Jesus, how he fed people. In Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, I noticed something very interesting there about how Jesus fed people. I know there are some very cynical ones among us say, you can't give people food all the time, you must teach them to fish. But let me tell you this. Based on my little reading and my little exposure, food is the most basic need for a human being. A hungry man will not accept the gospel. Preach as much as you can. But if the man is hungry, he will just tear. And when you don't talk to him, say, tell me the food, boss. I've seen it. I'm not talking about what I don't know. I'm talking from experience. Jesus went out to the city near Bethsaida. He left. He was tired. He went up into a mountain. And the men, them circle, and they found Jesus. When they got there and Jesus preached, it become evening time. And Jesus said, wow, let us give the people some food. What the disciples said? What some of the disciples said? Send them home. Can you imagine? They had come to the master. Jesus walking through the city. They said, send them home. Mark and John especially gives you some more details in this account. Jesus said, we can't send them home. So Jesus said to Philip, Philip, go and look some food for the people. You know why Mark's Philip? He said, Philip, Peter, and Andrew, they live in Bethsaida. It's like if I go into certain communities where I know my brethren live, and I come up there, and I want some food, I would say, Foss, you live on Mullins Road. Where can I get some food? I would expect him to find the food because he lives there. The Lord said to Philip, what was Philip's response? 200 penny worth of bread cannot even feed these people. But I'm happy the story did not end there. Jesus said, Jesus had compassion on the people. Andrew went in search and he found the little boy at his lunch. Jesus was able to take that little bit of food. He performed his miracles. And he was able to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. That is my Jesus. That's the Jesus who I follow. That's the Jesus who I walk with through the city. And when I'm going through the city, I do not fear as to what gunman will do. That's immaterial because you are walking with Jesus. I tell people, in my business, when I put my hat as a businessman, certain communities, the police tell me, say, do not go in there. Tell us straight. The police come and they sit with me and they say, do not walk down there so no more. Do not go there. If you are going home and you see people trailing you, these are certain things. I can't tell all the security details. Right, DSP? I can't tell all of that. But they tell me how to do. But you know when I tell myself, when I am going on the Lord's business, if I'm going to the Good Samaritan at any hour of the day or night, or I'm called to go into any community, I have no fear because I'm walking with Jesus. Therefore, bring it all together now. So, when you are walking with Jesus, you are not blind. Your eyes must be open to the needs around you. Someone asked me in youth class last year, suppose you're coming to church one day and you see somebody hungry. What are you going to do? And somebody dying on the side of the road. What would you do? Let me ask, what would you do? Come to church, same way I see the person. Eh? You know what the person said? Then suppose I go into Sovereign. And somebody see me going to Sovereign on the Sabbath. Though they may report to pastor that I'm breaking the Sabbath. That's another story. The point is, wherever there is need, we must do what Jesus would do and reach out. If your horse or your donkey or your Lexus or your Prado, if the wheel get punched on Sabbath, you fix that. In the sense of because you're going on your need. Jesus, the man donkey fell down and what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Think about that one. But when you walk with Jesus, you do what Jesus would do. When you walk with Jesus, you walk in his steps, you walk with him every step of the way, and you do what needs to be done. Let me just close. I said one other thing I just make mention. Do not believe for any moment that your church, our church, we have a monopoly on caring for people. You're wrong. Last week, Thursday, I was invited to a forum, Unite for Change, launched by the Ministry of National Security. And I was amazed at some of the things that came there. But I made note of this quotation. And I saw a few of our members there. It says, continued exposure to violence has a more devastating effect on the brain than all the nice words we speak. Personal intervention by interacting with the high numbers of youth at risk will go a far way to save them from the path that this trajectory is indicating. So all of us who sit in our ivory towers, who sit in all our comfort zones and allow all the youngsters to be exposed to this crime and violence and believe that you are immune, you're wrong. Those in the world are seeing it. What we need to do is to go and mingle with the people, show them love, take them to the love of Jesus, and that will bring hope to our city. There's a great need for targeted, holistic intervention in our densely populated urban centers. The church has the resources, the mandate, the power of the Holy Spirit to make that holistic intervention. That is what Metro Mission 14 is all about. Are you ready to follow Jesus to the city of Kingston? Are you prepared to be proactive and not to be reactive? Are you brave enough to declare that as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you are prepared to go into the city, to put on working clothes, to get into the trenches, and to positively impact this city for our Lord Jesus? If you are a Christian, and I'm using the basic definition for a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus, are you prepared to be a supporter of this cause of Metro Mission 14? Ask the four questions. Time done. Four questions. One, do you understand what Metro Mission 14 is all about? Let me see you raise your hands. Rhythm. It's on top. Good. Good. Reasonably good indication. Will you be praying for the special mission of taking Jesus to our cities? Wow, I love that. Amen. Sister Phipps, the prayer coordinator of this church, she has been doing a great work along with the other prayer coordinators in our cluster, and they have been involved in prayer. Elders were involved in prayer. Many people are praying. Third question. Are you convinced of this initiative that you'd like to be a volunteer or a worker in MM40? Wow. The numbers are a little less, but still look good. Hold them high. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you this. In the solemnness of this moment, I'd like to let you know, when you raise your hands as an indication, it's a vow. It's better, I've said many times in this church, it's better not to have made a vow than to make one and break it. When the call is made for anything for MM14, I would like to see the members of this church line up and get involved in the program. I gave that scenario with Luther Warren in Hero Circle in Racecourse then in 1907. I am not making any type of projection like that to say that this could be the last, or after one of these big camp mega campaigns, Jesus come or earthquakes try the city of Kingston the next day. But anything is possible. When you have an opportunity to do something for the Lord Jesus, I'd like you to do it. And final question that I'd like to ask. If there's someone here, you have not yet come to know the Jesus that we talk about, what you'd like to enter into that relationship with Jesus, we'll come to know him and to be able to share, as Uncle Winston told in the children's story this morning. Do you have somebody here? You have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus, but you'd like to accept him, and then you'd like to be a part of the group of people who go out and share this wonderful Jesus. Do we have one person? One person here. You have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus, but you believe that it's great to tell someone about Jesus, but you want to accept him, to know more about him, and to say, do we have an individual here? One person? You have not yet accepted the Lord, but you know that this lovely Jesus who we talk about is someone needs to know. I go back to my third question, the volunteers. This morning, I've tried to tell you a little about MM14. and you'd like to join me in saying, I will be a volunteer, I'll be a participant in MM14. Will you please stand with me? Whatever area. Prayer, financial resources, the health workers, the health teams are fully on board. Members of the health team, they're on board. And all the other areas, touching people's lives, feeding. Come assist us at the Good Samaritan Inn. Give some clothing. Give some money. Amen. This is a serious commitment. And I'm praying. Pastor, please just come and pray this prayer of commitment for us, please. Pray. That as this church kicks off in our program, and as we prepare for our campaign in Barbican Square, you, all of us, when the church says move, you're going to move with the church. When you're going up there at second service, which has been, as you tell this, before Pastor closed, part of this MM14, we are going to make a physical impact in Barbican Square. Our church board discussed it, and we voted that first service, Sabbath school, at 10:30, 10:45, we'll be shuttled over to Barbican Square. You and I, leaving our comfort of the nice air-conditioned environment to go under the tent in Sonat, yeah, is a means of also witnessing to somebody that you love them. I'm calling on you, the members of my church, to support us in this great campaign, this great mission of walking through the city of Jesus to save individuals. God bless you.
Shall we pray? Divine God and Father, we have made a commitment this morning to volunteer our service in order to snatch men and women, boys and girls, from the pit of sin and hell. Oh God, we ask you to renew our strength and cause us, Lord, to put on our working clothes and leave our comfort zone to seek and save that which was lost. Lord, we cannot do it by ourselves. And so we need your Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. We ask you to fall afresh on us and remind us of what you have called us to do. So bless us as we plan to go. Consecrate our lives. Consecrate our service. And oh God, we ask you to even now consecrate the spot, the evangelist, the working team, and every member of your church. May we understand what is happening in the world and what is happening to people, and how there's a need for them and for all of us to be committed to you, so that when Jesus comes, we can hear the well done from his lips. Bless us to this end, we pray. Thank you for what we have listened to today. We pray in Jesus' name.